Welcome to the podcast. If you are bidding on a public sector contract, the mobilization plan is consistently where you leave marks on the table. When a buyer allocates 10 to 20% of the total quality score to the tender mobilization methodology, they are not merely checking a box. They are actively testing your operational maturity, your understanding of their specific contract, and your ability to handle the inevitable friction of transitioning a service. A weak mobilization plan does more than lose marks in its own section. It undermines the credibility of your entire bid. If you cannot articulate a believable, detailed plan for the first 90 days, evaluators will doubt your ability to deliver the service for the next 5 years. Conversely, a robust, contract-specific delivery narrative turns your bid into a scoring asset. It proves you have managed complex transitions before and provides the evaluator with the reassurance they need to award you the contract. In this episode, we will break down exactly what evaluators are looking for, section by section, and how to turn a generic 60 out of 100 answer into a winning 85 out of 100 delivery narrative. Let us look at the weight of mobilization in quality evaluations. In UK public sector procurement, particularly under the Public Contracts Regulations 2015 and the Procurement Act 2023, the mobilization question is rarely an afterthought. On a major multi-year framework or call-off contract, this section alone can dictate the outcome of the bid. Evaluators read this section to gauge your overall operational credibility. A weak, generic plan undermines the persuasive power of your methodology, quality assurance, and social value responses. The underlying thought process is simple. If this bidder cannot articulate a credible, detailed plan for the first 90 days, can they genuinely be trusted to run the contract for its full term? A strong plan signals that you have managed complex transitions before, that you understand the buyer's specific constraints, and that you possess the maturity to handle the messy reality of contract commencement. Most bidders fail to score top marks because their plans are entirely generic. Evaluators are exhausted by reading the same boilerplate risk registers, the same vague commitments to robust planning, and the same undated timelines copied from previous submissions. Your narrative must prove that you understand the specific mechanics of this particular contract. Structuring a credible timeline is critical. A high-scoring timeline is specific, dated, and accountable. Evaluators are not testing whether your plan is the fastest possible transition. They are testing whether it is the most plausible one. A 12-week mobilization plan with clear dependencies, named owners, and built-in contingency buffers will always outscore a 4-week plan built entirely on optimism. Break your timeline down into distinct phases, anchoring every activity to the contract award date or day zero. Phase zero is pre-award preparation. The most compelling plans begin before the formal contract is even awarded. Detailing your pre-award activities demonstrates a highly proactive posture. This includes tentative resource mapping, drafting the necessary TUP employee liability information request templates, alerting key supply chain partners, and protecting the diaries of your core mobilization team. Most bidders skip this entirely. Including it signals deep professionalism. Phase 1 covers contract award and the first 7 days. The first week sets the tone, and evaluators scrutinize this heavily. Outline immediate, concrete actions. Schedule the formal kickoff meeting with the buyer, provide a proposed agenda, establish governance, issue the formal TUP ELI request to the incumbent, and commence weekly progress reporting. If your day one actions are vague, the evaluator stops trusting the rest of the plan. Phase two is resourcing, recruitment, and systems. This forms the operational backbone. It covers TUP consultation, gap recruitment, training rollout, IT and systems integration, supplier onboarding, and distributing uniforms and PPE. Every single activity must have a named owner and a specific target completion date. Align perfectly with the buyer's stated timeline while demonstrating how you will manage parallel work streams. Phase three is go-live readiness. Treat the go-live date as a discrete, highly orchestrated event rather than merely the end date on a Gantt chart. Detail the final operational checklists that must be completed before go-live. Outline the physical on-site presence of your mobilization lead and senior management team on day one. Specify the communication protocols for the first 24 hours, and clearly define the pre-agreed escalation routes if any element of the service is not fully ready. Phase four is post-go-live stabilization. Mobilization does not magically end on day one. Include formal 30-day, 60-day, and 90-day review milestones. Detail exactly when formal KPI reporting will commence and how you will manage the smooth handover from the dedicated mobilization team to the steady-state operational management team. Next, evidencing risk awareness. The risk register is where most bidders lose the easiest marks. A generic table listing supply chain delays, staff turnover, and weather with mitigations like close monitoring or robust planning will consistently score in the low 60s. Your mitigations must describe verifiable actions. For instance, stating that the mobilization lead conducts daily stand-up meetings with workstream owners from day 1 to day 14, with mandatory escalation to the operations director for any task marked red for 48 hours, is a verifiable action. A credible risk register addresses contract-specific risks. If incumbent TUP information arrives late or incomplete, specify issuing the request on day one with a strict 14-day deadline and formally escalating to the buyer's commercial team while activating a parallel resource plan. Address transferring staff failing vetting checks by including a pre-go-live verification window and pre-booked contingency agency cover. Address specialist licenses lapsing by detailing a day one license audit and pre-approved funding for immediate renewals. Address buyer-side delays by outlining a weekly RAG report submitted to the buyer with explicit action owners. Managing TUP and incumbent handover is heavily scrutinized for any service contract involving an incumbent supplier. Mishandling the TUP narrative is a fast track to a failing score. Evaluators are looking for a clear, legally compliant sequence with highly realistic dates. Specify that the formal request for employee liability information will be issued within 24 hours of contract award. Detail the ELI review window, typically 21 days before transfer. Outline the consultation process, noting it will commence at least 30 days before transfer where reasonably practicable. Reference the measures letter, the formal communication of any changes to working conditions like aligning pay dates or altering reporting lines. Bidders who fail to mention measures demonstrate a lack of practical TUP experience. Your day one continuity plan must reassure the evaluator that transferring staff will experience a seamless transition, covering payroll, terms and conditions, new line management, and uniforms. Sector-specific compliance matters. In facilities management, buyers are concerned with statutory compliance continuity. Detail how you will take over the asbestos register, verify fire risk assessments, and manage water hygiene records. Address the CAFM data migration plan. For IT services, the focus is data security, uptime, and user disruption. Cover data migration protocols, API integration testing, parallel running phases, and rollback contingency plans. In construction and minor works, buyers prioritize site safety, supply chain readiness, and CDM compliance. Demonstrate how you will establish site welfare facilities, onboard subcontractors, and ensure out-of-hours response capabilities are live from day one. Provide a worked example of a first-call emergency repair during week one. Let us look at a worked example for an FM contract. A generic response will say that following contract award, the experienced mobilization team will work closely with the authority to ensure a smooth transition. TUP will be managed in accordance with regulations, and risks will be identified and managed. This fails because it contains no dates, no names, no specifics, and no recognizable risks. A credible delivery narrative, scoring 85% or higher, will say, "Our 8-week mobilization will be led by Sarah Jenkins, mobilization lead with 12 years experience, including the successful transition of the £4 million DWP regional contract in 2024. Phase 1, award plus days 1 to 7. We will issue the formal TUP ELI request within 24 hours of award. The kickoff meeting with the authority will occur by day 5 to agree on the CAFM data migration schedule and establish the weekly RAG reporting format. Phase 2, weeks 2 to 6. We anticipate 45 colleagues will transfer. ELI will be reviewed by our HR business partner in days 8 to 21. Formal consultation commences on day 22 at the regional office. A measures letter will be issued on day 25 to address the alignment of payroll dates. Day 1 readiness will be audited in week 6. We have pre-booked agency contingency at 10% of headcount to mitigate late vetting failures. Phase 3, GoLiv and stabilization. Sarah Jenkins will be on site for the first 48 hours. We will conduct formal 30, 60, and 90-day stabilization reviews, with steady-state KPI reporting commencing at the 30-day mark. Top risk mitigation. If ELI is received late or incomplete from the incumbent, we will activate a parallel resource plan based on the tender pack assumptions and formally escalate to the authority's commercial team by day 14. This specific narrative wins because it includes named accountability, dated timelines, a real TUP process, and a highly specific risk mitigation. Common mistakes include failing to name the team, provide a role profile, years of experience, and an accountability matrix if you use placeholders. Do not treat GoLiv as the end of the plan. Extend your timeline to post-GoLiv reviews. Avoid writing a generic risk register. Populate it with contract-specific threats. Do not gloss over TUP measures. Explicitly mention the consultation process and the measures letter. Do not ignore buyer dependencies. Clearly state what you need from the buyer and when you need it. And do not submit an undated timeline. Use relative dates for every single milestone. Here are a few quick questions we often hear. How much detail should you include if the word count is strictly limited? Prioritize the timeline, the named accountability structure, and the contract-specific risk mitigations. Use a Gantt chart or a RACI matrix to convey complex scheduling efficiently, saving word count for the TUP narrative and risk strategies. What if you do not have a dedicated, full-time mobilization team? Identify who within your operational or project management team will act as the mobilization lead, and clearly articulate how their normal duties will be backfilled to give them capacity. How do you handle incumbent suppliers who refuse to share information? State that you will issue information requests immediately upon award, set clear deadlines, define a formal escalation path to the buyer's procurement team, and outline your parallel contingency plan for resourcing the contract without the incumbent's data. To summarize, a winning mobilization plan is a highly specific, dated, and accountable delivery narrative that proves you understand the messy reality of contract commencement. Name your team, detail your TUP process, provide verifiable risk mitigations, and treat GoLiv as an event rather than an end date. For the full written guide and to see how Bidwill automates this work, check out the resources section. Thanks for listening.